Hour 3 of the Triple Option with RBKD. The BK part gone for a week. I think he's in Dallas. God knows what he's getting into. Hopefully, no COVID.
He's getting into some trouble, but BK is a responsible young guy. We give him a lot of grief, but he's pretty responsible for his age.
He's really responsible for his age.
I wasn't even close to that responsible when I was his age. Sam's age. Sam's pretty responsible, too, and Sam's a freak.
I'm not sure. But Sam is responsible, but he's got some good irresponsible stuff off the air,
at
work.
Yeah, I feel like I'm responsible in things relating to work, and then outside of that, it's just all bets are off.
That's a good way to go.
I agree with this. Ish show off away from work. But at work, he's cool.
Kevin Dunn, Rod Baber, Sam Pika is controlling the dials. Before we get back to this TCU story a little bit, Sam was asking us during a break if he can do a certain type of dread, because I was asking you about Roberto Osuna's dreads. Not sure how. I mean, they were long enough. I'm not sure exactly if that's the best look. Whatever, to each their own. But Sam has a Haight-Ashbury bandana on. That's the only way I can describe that, probably, with your hair kind of flipping over it. And your hair's getting long enough now. You want to do what type of braids? The box braids.
Yeah.
Or you want to do the braids, not dreads.
Yeah,
okay.
It's like the braids. They're braided real tight. They got the little beads on the end, you know?
No, I know exactly what you're talking about.
That's where I'm really excited. Get the colorful beads, man. Get some, you know, hey, you hear that little annoying clank in my head every time?
I was saying Osuna dreads. I think he was actually, those are actually braids.
Okay.
I couldn't even really tell. Just knew that it wasn't great.
Is your woman going to do this hairstyle for you? Who's going to do the hairstyle for you?
I asked her if she knew how, and she was like, dude, do you think I'm that smart? Like, I can't figure that out.
It's just braids, but braids are tough. But it's not even braids. It's like, I forgot how to describe it either, but you're right.
It's like the ASAP Rocky hairstyle. That's what we were talking about.
I think that'll explain it for a lot of people. No, seriously. If I got that, then. Okay. Yeah. I mean, usually I've only saw those with black women that would do that. I'm not
black
even sure.
Black men
I've seen.
Do a lot.
Stevie
of it
Wonder,
too.
Maybe.
I've seen some black men do it. Yeah. Yeah.
He would have beads on that occasionally.
Yeah, and I'd have the beads on the side, the colorful beads. He's right. No, I've seen. I just haven't. I only got a picture Sam with it. That's all.
Give it a shot.
I think it's fair because I mean, like Rod said, I got my black card.
He does.
So I think I'm a lot closer to a black woman than a black man, if I'm being honest.
All right. I'd be careful with who you tell
That's pretty best fair. I like that.
Sam's going around. You know, I do have my black card. People are looking, I'm like, what the hell are you talking about, dude? No, you don't.
Damn to call me, Sam. I'll vouch for you. Boom.
All right, let's get back to this TCU story here a little bit. Because Gary Patterson does not have his black card right now.
He does not have his black card. Another good segue by you.
Yeah, well, he's probably worrying about other stuff right now outside of his black card. If you missed it today, Dylan Jordan, who's a redshirt freshman, had an Instagram post, because I saw it on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm not sure these days if it's on Instagram or Twitter. So I just say social media.
Social media.
The young people.
And he said that Patterson used a racial slur Sunday at practice after the coach had called him out for his Instagram post. Now, originally,
Instagram post was about his girlfriend.
So it was National Girlfriend Day?
Which I didn't even know existed.
Well,
what did you do, Sam, on National Girlfriend Day? Did you celebrate it?
My girlfriend asked me if I'd make a post, and I told her no.
Oh,
and that was
really?
The entire year.
So you did? Okay.
She knew about it.
Okay.
I had no idea.
Damn, I missed National Girlfriend Day, and I have a girlfriend.
Okay, so Gary.
That sucks for me. Gary, sucks for her.
Gary. Well, yeah.
That's for me. I'm all right.
And she's probably thinking, I mean, hell, I shouldn't even be eligible for this right now because I should have had a rock on my finger 2 years ago. That didn't happen when I was gone, did it?
I was hoping
I would have gotten a call or a text.
Not, you would have gotten a text or a call. I've not happened yet. No.
Okay.
All right.
So, yeah.
Moving on.
let's move this thing. Let's move on. We're in hour three. We got stuff to get to here. So it was National Girlfriend Day. Apparently, Gary busted his balls. And look, coaches are going to bust balls. And this is maybe what I was talking about earlier with the coach I talked to over the weekend, that there's some busting balls that isn't racial, that isn't, it's just coaches being coaches.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's changed over time.
That has changed over time.
But there's still got to be a little bit of that that's there, right? Like, coaches aren't going to be, they're not going to be.
They're usually not politically correct, but you would think after observing the movement happening in this country and the national dialogue and discourse happening, that a coach would, and so this happened recently, this happened like this past week, right? This
yes.
is, this just happened.
Just happened.
This isn't like the, you know, the issue
this
with
is yesterday.
Like Vic, was it Vic caning at West Virginia?
Right.
Right. And it, you know, so there's, you know, that happened, I think, too, this offseason.
Morgan Scally.
Morgan Scally, right? That was an issue where he dropped the N-bomb via text. And he thought he was texting another coach.
And he texted the player he was talking about.
He texted the player he was talking about, referring to him as the N-word or dropping the N-word, whatever. And then you have the Danny Perriman situation at Clemson where he drops the N-bomb, similar to what's happening here with Gary Patterson. Because Gary, the story is that Gary Patterson was dropping the N-bomb to tell Dylan Jordan to stop. Or he shouldn't be dropping the N-bomb in meetings.
Yes.
Basically, this young man had used the N-bomb in a meeting, the N-word in a meeting, and he got into it with Gary Patterson over the girlfriend.
So it starts with the girlfriend.
It starts
thing.
With the National Girlfriend Day.
And one thing that I.
And they're having a heated discussion about the National Girlfriend Day social media post, which. And it on his face is also ridiculous.
Yes.
That you confronted that young man about a
yes,
National Girlfriend Day post is also utterly ridiculous.
Which is why I was trying to give at least Gary some benefit of the doubt, considering this is, we don't know right now, that if you're just being a coach busting balls and, hey, saw you posted National Girlfriend Day, if you're really getting on him and he did feel exposed in front of the team, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah. And maybe he doesn't have a sense of humor. Maybe he was joking.
Right.
And maybe the young man didn't get the joke.
And Dylan did start with his post, which is where I would have told him, no, dude, leave this out, man. Leave this out. Do not, because it's all, there would be some people that look at this and think that you already have a bone
yeah.
and an agenda and
motive.
An axe to grind. He said, he starts off with, in a year's time at TCU, I've met a lot of people and have really yada, yada, yada. But he did go on, he did say that on the football side of things, life has been really rocky since arriving at TCU. I was promised early playing time during recruitment, which never happened.
Never happened. Never happened.
I never happened. I was promised it. I've asked any way I can get on the field and even suggested moving positions. That never happened. I can see him maybe a little upset at that, but it starts the post off with,
yeah, you're right.
Do you have a bone to pick?
Pretty much.
Right. Then it gets into the National Girlfriend Day, and then Gary Patterson had gone up to him and said, I will send your brat ass back to Pitt, which...
Yeah, so somewhere it escalates. So
somewhere this got real.
Let's theorize it started as a joke. He's just giving him, you know, he's just giving him a little grief in front of the players. Ah, oh, man, National Girlfriend Day.
That'd be benefit to Gary there.
Let's just give him the benefit of the doubt, because you're right, I've been around a lot of coaches, and that's what coaches and guys do, right? They mess with each other, they joke around. Let's just say he was joking around with them, and it got
heated. If you're a good boyfriend, you're going to take some crap with your boys.
Yes, usually you do. I'm a good man.
You're
take
a really
crap
good
all
man.
The time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just happens the way it is. And let's say that it got heated all of a sudden. And when it got heated, this is where he talks about how Gary Patterson told him, you know, that basically you're a little brat, calls him a brat, and said, I should have sent your, you know, butt back to Pitt, or send you back to Pitt. And it's weird because, you know, I don't know where it escalated. He doesn't necessarily say where it escalated into that.
Well, so after that, apparently Dylan says, he says, for what, I ain't did nothing. And then Gary followed with that. So I guess he was asking, look, I haven't done anything. Why would you send me back? And he said, you've been saying the N-word, not a hard ER.
In the
Gary actually said it
in the
meeting room. This morning I show up for practice and multiple players approach me. So yeah, I mean, so that's
okay,
when, so it started. So
he was passive aggressively giving him stuff about the girlfriend post because he was mad about the N-bombs being dropped in the meetings.
Which is when I would say you call the kid in individually.
You call
and
him
say,
in and say, we don't use that word around here ever.
Please don't.
Nobody uses it.
Period. I understand you're pissed because you haven't gotten
it,
playing time.
But
you know what? You need to work harder or whatever he looks at as a coach and say, this is how you get on the field.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm with you. It's nuance in discussion. You're right about that. We all agree there's no proper time or right time or appropriate time for Gary Patterson to drop the N-bomb, hard
no.
ERRA, whatever.
Which he did later on. So the first one was the soft. And then he went hard.
He went with the rap version the first time.
Yes.
And then went with the Quentin Tarantino version the second time.
But it's
time.
Like the Clemson coach. If you're getting on someone for using that, you got to understand where you're at. And is it as bad as really using that word in a derogatory word, in a way? No. But it's still, if you're a coach, this time in 2020, you got to... Just say the N-word.
You got to have so.
Just say the N-word.
Say the N-word. You got to be more
just
self-aware
than that. Don't say the N-word.
Just say don't say the N-word. Everybody knows what you're talking about.
Yes, we got you.
So I don't know what made
they're not
going to
say,
Patterson.
What, napalm's not cool?
Yeah.
I mean, like, they're going to know.
No, this because it gets to thinking, and I'm not questioning Gary Patterson. Some people are going to call him racist for this. I always say just because you do something ignorant, say something ignorant, doesn't make you a racist. Some people are just ignorant. And I think Gary Patterson could easily be in that category, just being ignorant. But when you throw around the N-word, which we all agree is probably the most despicable word in the American English language because
don't
of the history
throw it
of it,
around.
People are going to question you on ignorant or racist because people who are at least racially sensitive to the history of this country, they don't use that word. They don't.
Yeah.
They don't.
No,
you're
right.
They make it a point not to use it. They go out of their way not to use it. Rap songs, Quentin Tarantino, quota longs, whatever, that they go out of their way. No. I'm not using that word.
Right.
Remember Jerry Seinfeld? Jerry Seinfeld earned a lot of respect. Remember, he sat on a stage with Louis C.K., Chris Rock, and what is the guy from the original Office? What's his name? Ricky Gervais.
Okay.
And you got to go look this up. They actually had started having a discussion about the N-word. And started dropping it. I believe Louis C.K. drops it. And Jerry Seinfeld, because Chris Rock was a little stunned by it.
Did he drop his pants while he was dropping it? Sorry.
Chris Rock didn't really say anything. Chris Rock lost his black card for a while because of this. Jerry Seinfeld stood up and said, I don't think this is funny. In probably the most straight man Jerry Seinfeld way, he said, this is not funny. And you can see that he's like, I don't think this is fun. And he reiterates, I don't like this. This is not funny. This is not my kind of humor. Because they get into Louis C.K. is the blackest white man or something. And he drops the N-bomb. And they get into this really awkward conversation. You talk about comic geniuses.
Wow, I never saw this.
And Jerry Seinfeld, I will play it for you, but he stands up and says, I'm not comfortable with this, guys. It's not
good. Believe that.
And my respect level for Seinfeld obviously shot through the roof. But the point is, you could tell Seinfeld was like, I never use that word. You ain't going to get me to start getting comfortable with it here. I've never been comfortable with it. Not happening here. So when there's a comfort level with it, as a white man, people will question you on that. You shouldn't be comfortable enough to say it.
Yeah.
Right? And use it in a text message. Hell, I'm a black man, and I told you guys, I look around before I might say it. Like, I got a black card. I'm like, oh, the hell? Nobody around. All right. You know what I mean? I might drop it.
You'll
maybe
be fine
I won't.
In the office.
And it's never with the hard ER.
No. So, yeah.
Let you get my point.
I absolutely do. And is it stupid? Yes.
It's a horrible
word.
Is
it a fireable offense? I don't know. Doubt it.
Exactly. We don't know.
I don't know the whole situation.
Because I don't know Gary Patterson.
It's stupid, though, for him to do that. Now, he does have a lot of skins on the wall there. And this is a guy who, as I said earlier, I'm curious kind of where he is in his career and how much time that he thinks he wants to do this. Because I was surprised with Zach Evans, and then really surprised with Marcell Brooks, because he knows exactly what the story is with Brooks, and he ends up taking these guys in. So I don't know. I don't know where Gary is on his path right now.
Yeah, and he did not call the young man the N-word.
No.
On Twitter and social media, is getting misconstrued.
He was trying to say, don't say this.
He was trying to tell him not to say
it. Which is a huge difference than saying it.
It is. But
you still, as a head coach or any coach in that situation, just don't. It's very easy.
I'm going to say any coach. I'm with you. I'm like any coach.
N-word. There you
N-word.
Go.
N-word. You know
and like I mean? You said, we're not. They're not going to get confused on that.
Everybody knows what the N-word is.
Right.
It's everybody. Know, like little.
I want to say neon, I can say neon. Well, all right. Different N-word.
That's why we were talking about Louis C.K., right? He's even got the bit about, like, when somebody says N-word, it's like, oh, don't make me say it in my head. Like, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
And when you do
I've seen that. That is a funny bit.
It is, though, Louis. I was saying, those guys were comic geniuses.
Oh, I don't think Louis C.K. is racist either.
I don't either. But I just.
Sounds a little sexually creepy.
I don't think he's racist at all. And of course, he's a comedian. He's supposed to walk the line. That's what he does for a living and be provocative.
But I'm glad Seinfeld stood up and said, no, it's not mine.
My point is, you could tell Jerry, I don't know when's the last time Jerry has ever used it, if ever used it. See, you can tell Louis C.K. has dropped it before, whether in performance.
Interesting.
Or if you drop it on national television like that as a white man, you've said it before. Sorry. That's just the way it is. And I'm not saying you said
it
maliciously.
Say it, but like
I'm not saying you said it with ill intent. I'm not saying you said it with hate in your heart.
But you said it.
But you said it. Yeah. And you said that. Like I said, Bill Maher got into the same thing. You know, Bill Maher dropped it casually one time, and he was saying it in an observational way on the show.
He did, right.
And it wasn't, wasn't with malicious intent, wasn't with racist and hating his heart.
No,
but
Bill's not a racist.
He dropped it. Exactly. We all know this, right? Very
he
casually.
He should have
said that. And and people was like, well, Bill, then you're in the ignorant category then, because you just shouldn't drop it casually like that on your show without thinking there are going to be repercussions and consequences for it.
Right.
Because it's a horrible word that we probably should do our best to disavow and eradicate from the language, period. But it won't, because now there's creative license with it, and hip-hop artists have rebranded and reconstituted it and co-opted it, and that's great, and empowered it, and that's awesome. But, yeah, we all know, nobody's arguing, like, for I want to use the N-word. Those people, we agree, we need to move past. Like, nobody's arguing that. We're arguing at this point, like, we should move, nobody should be using it, period. There's no in normal society, other than creative license, what could be the use for the word?
It's just the creative license, like you were talking about.
You know what I mean? Quentin Tarantino and rappers at this point. Other than that, it's tough to justify.
Yeah, I think it's moving in the right direction. So multiple TCU players did refuse to practice today.
Yeah.
And this morning. So that's really the fallout. Let's see how many guys are thinking. And that's also maybe, Rod, where they have their own take on Coach Patterson, whether they really trust him or to where they'd go. You know, some of these guys may go, no,
guys are taking
no,
up
no.
for him already via social media.
Okay.
Guys will come out and say, he did not call him. He's just talking
that's
in
gonna be the That's
going to
be a big thing.
It will be. You're right. That'll be big if the players come out and vouch for him. But I think I don't think this blows up to the point where it consumes Gary Patterson's job. I think he survives it, and I think he'll. Remember, Mike Leach went to racial sensitivity training, because when Mike Leach got to Mississippi, Mike Leach tweeted out a photo of.
Do they have that available in Mississippi?
I think he had to go out of town for that. But he tweeted out a photo of a noose. Like a woman with a noose, remember that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it was a joke that had nothing to do with race. It was about a woman, about marriage and how much marriage sucks, not how much about race relations.
Right.
But
and that's still fair game, right?
Marriage sucks. Everybody agrees with that. I'm not even married, and I can tell you that.
Yeah.
But I'm going to get married. I love you, honey. But my point is that he had to go to racial sensitivity training so people understand, like, when you're the head coach of a school in Mississippi, you probably can't tweet out nooses of any kind for any point ever.
Right.
And he learned that. He's like,
if I was at
it.
Berkeley, I'd be careful with that.
That's what I'm saying. I just think, again, that was ignorance. He's one of the most brilliant men in the history of football ever. And Mike Leach is not a racist, but he was just ignorant about things. He's like, okay, I get it.
It's this very sensitive time, and some of it can be overly sensitive, and some of it makes a lot of sense, like with the N-word. It's not up to Gary Patterson to think if he's offended by that, right? You've got a bunch of young black players, and it was stupid. And I bet you he'll come out and say that, or at least try and clear this up a little bit.
I'm sure he's waiting to make a statement until all the ducks are in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he wants to talk to the team, see how the team feels, talk to the team leaders, see how the team leaders feel, see if he has a revolt on his hands or not, see if the guys are going to boycott or anything like that.
Yeah, no, and that's when I thought, well, if this does blow up, when we started the show here, I thought it's going to blow up because we're seeing that, okay, they didn't have a practice. Guys didn't show up to practice this morning?
That's big.
Uh-oh. That's big. But it's really big that there are some guys on social media defending him, saying, no, he's actually trying to get that out of our locker room.
Man, imagine Mike Gundy right now somewhere saying, dude, I thought I was going to look bad in the Big 12, and I was going to look like I was behind the times, and some of my views were, controversial, and then you get this one. You got West Virginia dealing with it with their defensive coordinator.
Oh, he's loving it. He's loving it.
It's a new era for the coaches, man. They will be held accountable for their actions.
Yeah.
And the students don't need to go through the university to do it anymore.
No. We're seeing that with the Pac-12.
Amen, brother. Matter of fact, we'll talk about that, too, coming up a little bit later on. Pac-12 might be dealing with a boycott of several players. That is the hot water that Gary Patterson has found himself in. On the other side, we'll get back to some college football discussion. Sam Ellinger Now, there's an article at Pro Football Focus about several draft-eligible quarterbacks coming out next year, but Sam Ehlinger is included in that bunch. We'll tell you where they have him among the draft-eligible quarterbacks and what the scouts have to say about Sam Ehlinger and his NFL prospects. All of that and more on the Rant of the Day coming up next right here on the Triple Option with RBKD right here on 104.9, 101.9, and AM 1260.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Find out what happens
when people stop being polite and start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real!
My God! Okay, it's happening! Everybody stay calm!
Oh, you've done it now. It's time for Rod's Rant of the Day.
Hold on to your butts.
All right, welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. I saw this article. First, I saw it at Horns 247, but it was bringing up, referencing, I should say, a Pro Football Focus article by Mike Renner. Michael Renner is one of their NFL scouts. And he put together his list of the best 2021 NFL draftable quarterback prospects for 2021. So he went through 15 on this list. I think he went down to 15 or as low as 15. Number one is Trevor Lawrence. Number two is Justin Fields. Number three, Trey Lance, North Dakota State. Talked about how impressive Trey Lance has been. Number four, Brock Purdy, actually, his fourth best draftable 2021 quarterback prospect. And number five, Jamie Newman from Georgia. A lot of people expecting big things out of Jamie Newman transferring from Wake Forest, but also now with Todd Monken as the offensive coordinator, who is air raid-ish in his schemes. Everybody's expecting big things, very prolific offense coming from Georgia. And number six.
Georgia's finally going to do it?
They're going to do it. Todd Monken's
okay.
going to do it. Todd Monken is going to spread it out. I guarantee you. That's what Todd Monken does. Now, will it work or not? I don't know, but they have the athletes to do it. And when hasn't spreading out the football and throwing it more worked?
Look, Ed Orgeron stuck with it, so I'll believe it.
Right? Exactly.
I'll go ahead and buy it.
Yeah, if that guy, who both people were calling a coach curmudgeon at one point.
Oh, he was a 3A. Coach.
He just lacked any progressive thinking.
Pitch right, left.
Yeah, and now he led, or at least was the head coach of the most prolific offense arguably in the history of college football. Yeah, a lot of people are jumping on board in the SEC now. And listen, Mike Leach is going to be in that conference now. You're going to have a Browse coaching in that conference, or at least calling plays now. Chad Morris now calling plays in that conference. The SEC won't look like it used to, I guarantee you that. So you'll have to score a lot of points. So sixth on this list, though, by Mike Renner, of draft eligible college quarterback prospects coming out is Sam Ehlinger. He's got Sam Ehlinger ahead of Kyle Trask at number seven and ahead of Shane Buccelli at number eight on his list.
Well, he beat him out once.
but hey, Buccelli is having a hell of a college career post Texas, and it wasn't bad here at Texas.
No, I mean, no, it wasn't at all.
One year.
No, I mean, he got legitimately beat out, but a lot of that was system. Sam fit Herman's system more.
He did. He fit the system, and they built that system at SMU around Shane Buccelli. It's almost exactly what the veer and shoot was here for him when Sterling Gilbert was using him.
Yep.
And they use a ton of RPOs, and it's just using his quick release. You know, he's got that baseball release, so the ball's out quickly.
Yeah, and I think the competition's helped them out, too, with that.
No question. No. No doubt about it. I agree with you on that, too. No doubt. Trust me, I was a Sam Ehlinger guy in the Sam versus Shane debate, but I will admit now, it was closer than I thought it was. It might have been closer than I thought it was because Shane turned out to be a much better player post-Texas than I thought he would be as well.
When we were doing post-game, we took some crap on that.
We did, but we were right, and you may be right
that it was actually closer than than.
But
because
I remember mocking some people who were like, "I think it should be Shane," and now I admit I probably shouldn't have been mocking those people because Shane is a damn good player.
How dare you?
Just saying, throwing it out there. But hey, let's look at the Sam Ehlinger evaluation by Mike Renner here and talk about Sam's NFL prospects. So he kind of gives a little breakdown and then gives the outlook for 2020. So the first breakdown is Ehlinger had a rocky start to his career back as a freshman in 2017. Since then, he slowly but surely raised his draft stock and cleaned up concerns with each passing season. The 2019 campaign was all about proving he could sling it more consistently down the football field. His average depth of target soared by over half a yard to 10.5 yards per depth of target, and he went from 23 big-time throws in 2018 to 33 last season. He also improved his blitz recognition. They have him here earning a 90.9 pass grade versus the Blitz with a 131 passer rating that ties for the best mark in the country.
Wow.
It actually is tied with Trevor Lawrence, and it beats out Joe Burrow
PFF
and Tua.
Had that, didn't they?
Yeah, which is, I think Joe Burrow was the best quarterback, or at least was the best quarterback last season versus the Blitz that I had seen in terms of processing information.
How is anyone better than that, or even on that level?
They're saying Sam, at least based on their grading system, has that type of recognition in terms of, you know, the pre-snap and then be able to identify where the rush is coming from and hit the open guy.
Burrow had much better protection and a scheme to get it out of his hands quicker.
And probably had better weapons all around.
Oh, God, yeah.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yes, the receivers.
Yeah, no doubt. But, I mean, hey, Devin Duvernay is nothing to sneeze at. Neither is Colin Johnson.
No, but I would.
But they are not.
But I would have taken their second tight end, Stephen Sullivan, as our first.
That is true. Hell, you know what? No doubt. I agree with you on that. No question. So what they said that basically they want to see from Sam, and he points it out here too, he said the rising senior still hasn't been able to fix his uneasiness in the pocket. This is something I've talked to NFL scouts too about Sam.
Flooded a lot last year.
Yeah. He also goes on to say it's not only that he takes sacks at a high rate when pressured. So 21% of the time Sam is pressured, he's sacked. Now, that's a lot. That's the offensive line, the system. But he takes sacks too often. I guess they'd prefer you either get rid of the football or get out. Now, he does scramble. He led the Big 12 in scramble attempts last year, 63 of them. And I think a lot of that was because the pocket would break down. But he actually left a clean pocket 40 times in 2019, which is 6 more than any other quarterback in college football. So he
beaten puppy syndrome, though.
It is.
Right.
I think he lost trust in the O-line, and he would just leave a clean pocket at times before it collapsed and before the pressure got there.
Sometimes you think you're flushed when you're not.
I totally agree.
If you legitimately get flushed a lot.
Well, I think that Oklahoma game changed his.
Totally.
You know, I think it changed
his first
level
half
of
alone.
Commitment to the pocket. And I think after that, his level of commitment to the pocket, it was. Yeah, it was conditional. If it was certain conditions met, then I'm good. But if he notices that this DN is whipping, you know, his tackle, which I doubt was Sam Cosme, probably on the other side. Kirsten was also really good in pass protection too. But he's like
Kirsten was rated higher than Sam on
he
some
was,
of these
as a pass protector. So if his guards didn't hold up, or you know Shackelford wasn't holding up in pass protection, I think he learned I got to get out of this pocket early and make something happen. And also we learned his receivers, not that it was their fault, they didn't get a lot of coaching. There wasn't a lot of scheming them open, right? No. There wasn't a coaching advantage in the route combinations. I think that'll help Sam this year, too. It's got to, because I don't think he has the same caliber of wide receivers that he had the last 2 years. Yeah, the last 3 years.
No, it's almost like they felt like they didn't have to scheme them open, but they oversimplified. And when you've got DBs and linebackers running routes because they recognize what this is probably going to be just based on formation and alignment and personnel – no bueno.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. That's why the offensive line is going to be big. They can
and Yursich diversifying a little bit.
I think that Yursich will. Like I said, I watched the Oklahoma State film 2018, and I'll refer anyone who wants to see possibly what Yursich's vision for the offense could look like, his cover version of the pro spread. And they ran probably two backs in the backfield. I'm talking about two tailbacks in the backfield with 20 personnel, shotgun, split back, variety of different formations. I say around 50% of the time, maybe half the snaps, they use two tailbacks. They use 11 personnel. There was some 10 personnel, one back, zero tight ends. There was a plethora of personnel packages. We know Tom Herman was almost, you know, I think it was a part of his downfall, almost a liability, that he was so dedicated to the 11 personnel to the point where I think he oftentimes would underutilize players to try to maximize that personnel grouping.
Yeah.
Yours is just the opposite.
You didn't have the best 11 out there either.
Exactly. You sacrificed the best 11 to do that. I think yours is just the opposite. He's going to make sure I get the best 11 guys out there. If I have to sacrifice some of the scheme and make it malleable to get the best 11, I'll do it, which I think is why you're going to see more running backs this year on the field. I think you're going to see some 20 personnel packages, two backs, zero tight ends, shotgun, split back, and you'll see some 21, too, two backs, one tight end.
I love it.
You're going to see a lot of that.
I was showing you an old Makovic game,
and
they went to that shotgun split, and you go, whoa!
And the shot was like, man, Makovic. But Makovic was.
He was ahead of his time on that stuff.
And we talked about that. Makovic actually offensively was ahead of his time. He just was a bad people person.
He was not great at
that. He was not, in terms of his personal relationships, he wasn't really one that prioritized
Snatched the wine list out of Schoening's hand one time. Now, he took all the media guys out, and Schoening told the story. It's hilarious. He said, give me that. You don't know what you're looking at. It's my Makovic.
Is that how Makovic talks?
He was a little like that,
Oh, interesting.
It was definitely a little.
I've never heard your Makovic. It's my first time hearing your Makovic.
It's a little over the top, like most of my impressions are.
But the Sam's pro prospects, I'll say this. I think they got it right because they have him, KD, as the sixth best quarterback coming out in 2021. I think he's right where he's supposed to be. And no joke, and people may think I'm just being a homer here, I truly believe that Sam could rise up to be in the top five.
No, it's not being a homer.
He'll crack the. I don't think he'll crack really the. At top four is going to be tough, or top three is going to be tough. Because Trey Lance and Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence, I don't think he's going to crack that. But I'm not joking. If by the end of the year, I wouldn't be surprised if he's right where Brock Purdy is. So Brock Purdy is four on this list.
Yeah.
And then they have, after him, Jamie Newman. I think Sam could leapfrog both of those guys. Now, I'm not saying he will.
He
can have that kind of season with Sam Cosmi on the O-line, Kirsten on line, a new offensive approach, I should say. I think Sam could have that kind of ceiling. Last year, he had a great year, and he was underutilized, or at least that offense, it underachieved.
I think you hit the nail on the head. That's where he can go, because there's a lot of love. So if you don't know Trey Lance, and if you listen to the show, you know BK. That's maybe where BK is.
BK's
claiming he's in Dallas. He's driving up there to probably go stalk him.
He's stalking. I believe that. He loves him, man.
He's got a hot girlfriend,
too. He loves Trey Lance.
He does love him, and for good reason. Didn't throw a pick all last year. I watched actually a couple Trey Lance games over the
break.
I
did too. Now the break, but I've watched them
okay,
before.
Okay, yeah. They were doing a marathon on ESPNU.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And the only reason I watched was because of Trey Lance. So Lawrence, Fields, in any order, I think four probably is that spot that he's got that wiggle room to move up, because I don't hear a bunch of separation from pro people too between Purdy and Sam. I would say
they like Purdy more.
But there's not a huge separation there to where Sam shows them what they're looking for. And I think a lot of that is being able to stay in the pocket, maybe have a better feel for that, and hopefully the offensive line, and like you said, the scheme can help him out. He can go above Trask or Newman or Tanner Morgan or Shane Buechele or Ian Book, whoever those guys are.
I totally agree. Like I said, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I think Sam's got that kind of ceiling. And there's another thing, too, and we can wrap up the discussion on this point. You start looking at the way the NFL is approaching the quarterback position for the first time ever, arguably, in the history of the NFL. They're breaking the prototype, right? They're now shattering the mold in terms of, I have to have a quarterback that's this height, that has hands this big, that looks this way, that his footwork is like this in the pocket, has this throwing motion. You know, all of those things that Bill Walsh made us fall in love with in terms of how we covet the quarterback position. I think now we're looking at Lamar Jackson's, and you're looking at Kyler Murray's, and you're looking at Patrick Mahomes of the world. You're looking at different molds when it comes to quarterback, a different way of playing the quarterback position. Sam doesn't always play the quarterback position the way it is traditionally supposed to be played for a pocket passing quarterback.
Yeah.
He blurs that line between a pocket passing quarterback and a dual threat quarterback oftentimes.
Which is why a lot of times he's labeled as a really damn good quarterback.
People have said, right, he's a Tim Tebow, but a better throwing motion, better passer, and I totally agree with that. So I think in this situation, the NFL will be more
open. That was the only thing I worried about with Tebow. Everything else was there.
The leadership, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, right.
So this NFL will be more open to a player like Sam Ehlinger. I think, man, maybe five, 8 years ago, Sam Ehlinger may not even be a draftable prospect. I know it sounds crazy, but he's going to be drafted late. Sixth round,
same thing I was saying
round.
About Tebow, and I think I was still right, even though he somehow won the playoff game.
But Josh McDaniels was the one that
he was
broke
the one.
Down.
But I think Tebow would have lasted in the league and lasted longer had he turned himself into an H-back.
Oh yeah,
which
totally.
Is what he could have been.
And Sam won't be asked to do that.
No,
which and maybe back in another day, somebody would ask Sam, "Oh, you should switch, change positions." These days, the quarterback position isn't what it used to be. I think that's going to give Sam a window to at least be accepted into the NFL, even in his current form as a guy that has Bam Bam Sam as part of his persona.
I don't think you're being a homer. If you would have told me that you think he can get into two or three, and by the way, he still can. Because I don't think it's going to happen, but let me give you one example, okay? Where was Joey B on this list?
I know you got to bring him up.
And I know it's unfair because it's recency bias, but it's also historically an example that you almost can't even touch.
You're right.
But
you're right.
Like, I mean, Sam has more pro cred right now heading in than Joe Burrow did last year at this time.
Totally agree. Totally agree.
Now, if he can have that type of year,
yeah.
And
no, you're right.
Then maybe he can shoot up. I'm with you for the most part. It's 1 through 3 are probably going to be locked in, but he can definitely get up to 4, man.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that.
And that could be a lot of money.
If he does, that means Texas is having a damn good year. We should all be hoping he gets to 4.
And it means two things that you said. It means the offensive line was a hell of a lot better and picked stuff up better, and he felt more comfortable stepping up in the pocket and just had a better feel for that, and that they did a better job with the – I say they. Yursich does a better job than Texas did last year with the skill set.
No doubt. All right, we come back. I want to get into this the fan experience at Texas. There have been – guidelines released by the university about what the fans can and cannot do if they're going to attend the game, and also who's going to be attending the Texas football games. Now that they've, another story you missed, they knocked the capacity down
25%
now. So we'll get into that story on the other side. All of that and more right here on the Triple Option with RBKD, right here on 104.9, 101.9, and AM 1260. Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. My man Sam keeping it funkalicious around here, funkadelic around here. You know
this is
I mean?
A Sam
Funk-ified.
Song, is it not?
Yeah, this is a Sam is all about funk, man, which is a dying, it's not dying, it's, I guess it is a dying genre. It's a dying genre of music.
Yeah, funk?
Yeah, and it's not totally dead. Some people still use funk, but it's a hybrid genre now where you combine funk with pop or funk with soul and R&B. Like, it's not just pure funk
anymore.
Doesn't that
kind of take away the funk, though?
Like George Clinton. Yeah, like there's no more pure funk anymore, right? Nobody's pure funk.
Nah, nobody. Especially with just nobody's using real instruments even to begin with anymore.
That's true.
You know?
Bruno Mars is probably the closest thing you can get to funk. Is he not? He's a poppy funk.
Yeah, I'd give you that. Yeah, definitely like, still some poppy kind of.
He's a poppy, funky, kind of thing. All right, let's talk about the fan experience at the University of Texas because they released some guidelines about the fan experience at the University of Texas for the COVID season. And they say there's going to be no group or single game tickets. That's what I'm so. Only students and season ticket holders, period. That's it.
Okay.
So we settled all that. If you're not a student, not a season ticket holder, don't even need to bother.
All right.
Done deal. No group or single game tickets. Social distancing, face covering is required. Cashless concession options. They're making...
Beautiful.
They're going to have sand hands.
Freebies? Oh, credit card, probably, right? Yeah.
That would be great, cashless.
Like, awesome.
Yeah, but they're going to get the swipe from you. Yeah, you got to charge that to the game. They're going to have 3,000 hand sanitizer dispensers all over the stadium so everybody can keep themselves sanitized. They're going to regularly clean highly touched surfaces. Probably should have been doing that anyway. Attendance assigned to suites and bath restrooms, I'm assuming, to keep people from gathering and that kind of stuff. I don't know what that's about. And
people gathering at the trough.
Yeah, I get. You know, people have lines. I guess it shouldn't be lines to the restroom if there's not a lot of people there. So I don't know. I guess I have no idea exactly how they're going to do it. And they also said you're going to enter the stadium through assigned gates.
Okay.
To avoid, once again, to avoid, you know, the long lines.
Which shouldn't be a problem again with 25%.
Shouldn't be as big of a problem with 25%. There'll be mobile ticketing. So you won't have to worry about the physical tickets and some other kind. So it's... It should be, like you said, logistically, it should be less of a chaotic nightmare than you get on game days just from the 25% capacity or 25% occupancy rule. Like that alone should keep you from having large mass gatherings at either the gates and entrances or at concessions or at bathrooms. And I think that's what they're trying to avoid.
I think that's what they're trying to avoid. And you're not forced to go to this.
So this is
where the side of me is, well, if we can do it, then you should allow people options as long as you're not going to create just some cluster F where it's, I mean, because the goal was never for no one to not get this thing, right? We knew the reality of it. People were going to get it. It was about making sure you don't overload hospitals.
Mitigate the spread.
And mitigate the spread as much as you can. So I'm okay with it. You're not forced to go. And as we talked about, I know a couple weeks ago, if you decide to opt out, you're not going to lose your season tickets. You're not going to lose where it is, all that. All that's going to be good. So
loyalty foundation, loyalty points and all that, that's still intact. And I believe you can still donate if you want to donate and
I'm sure they'll take that.
They'll take your money and all that. Yeah, but you won't lose, like you said, you won't lose your place, your standing for next season's season tickets.
So as long as you're not punishing people that decide that they don't want to for whatever reason that is, then I like the option. And I wish they could go to 50%, but they're obviously tracking this and monitoring it pretty closely, and that's where they feel comfortable right now.
Did you also see, and I won't talk to you, you also see that the University of Texas has outlawed parties on
West
campus?
I did.
Any UT student, if you're enrolled in Texas, you cannot go to a party.
Yeah.
That is part of you.
They're not going
to
be able
agreement.
To hold that one up.
You don't think they obeyed it? You don't think, really?
Absolutely not.
Oh, no. They
no.
Might. Yeah, so the people, but aren't the police out there trying to discourage those gatherings anyway? The police are discouraging parties anyway. Like your neighbor,
you may discourage it, but they can't come in and do anything.
Your neighbor may snitch on you today if you had like a big party at your house.
Well, what can they do though?
I mean, I think gatherings of more than 10 people is like something.
You write a fine.
I guess so. I think you can get fined.
Unbelievable. With school, you could do it differently. You could say you're going to get in trouble with the dean.
The students can suspend it. Yeah, they say they can get suspended or even kicked out of school.
Well, kids are going to have some parties. Rod, you don't think there are going to be any parties with these kids?
I'm saying they're going to have parties, but I think UT is, I think they're for real about punishing kids who have parties. And you know, kids are going to snitch out on other kids. And they find out about the party via social media because these young people love them. They can't do a damn thing. It never happened if it don't go on social media.
Oh,
what's the point of having a party if I can't Snapchat it or TikTok it or whatever the hell you're going to do?
I was thinking of us.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We could do it covertly.
We would have been quiet like the mafia.
They have to put it out there or it never happened. So they're going to get caught because they're their own worst enemy.
You're right.
So
totally
I'm just saying.
Forgot about the Insta.
There you go.
The
you
gram.
Know what's going to happen.
The gram.
Come on, man. They're gonna have proof out there. This is what they do.
What's up with all these snitches? Didn't they understand what happens to them back in the day? Got snitches at 19, snitches at 40.
Hey, the NBA's got a snitch hotline, so snitches.
Yeah. The Chris Paul hotline.
Snitches starting to come at the Karen hotline. Snitches are starting to come back. All right.
Snitches get stitches and Karens get, well, I don't know.
Let's not go there. All right. My man Sam Pico back there twisting, twigging the dials. KD, I'm Rod Babers. We'll come right back. We come back. We'll get into some Major League Baseball power rankings. Also, we'll address the big headlines of the day. All of that and more. One more hour to go on the Triple Option with RBKD right here on 104.9, 101.9 and AM 1260.